John Conyers has been accused of using his congressional staff as babysitters. Several complaints were filed with the House Ethics Committee, but were dropped, and no further actions have occurred. The allegations have not been answered by Conyers. The latest fossil uncovered in Africa may be the most definitive piece of evidence for evolution thus far. The newest fossil, the species Australopithecus anamensis, was found in the region of the Middle Awash, where seven other human-like species spanning nearly 6 million years and three major phases of human development were previously discovered. According to a co-author of the study, the unique location and discovery provides a glimpse into 6 million years of developmental evolution in humans. On the immigration rights front, many of the marchers in recent rallies have been paying high prices for their participation in the marches. In several states, workers lost their jobs for choosing to rally for citizenship. In Tampa, Florida, undocumented students were suspended for walking out of school to demonstrate. The check's in the mail, or at least the postcard is. A postcard originating in a Florida address was returned to that address recently with a return to sender stamp on it. Included on the postcard was the postmark, stamped in 1956. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome to tonight's Thursday edition of Head On. I guess it's not really tonight, though. It's too much daylight in the sky yet. Well, on this continent at least. I am glad to be with you, glad to have you along. As I noted in the post over at headonradionetwork.com, we are expecting a phone call presently from California Democrat Representative Pete Stark. I've had my mind going in so many different directions. I've barely paid attention to the fact that tax day is fast approaching, and with it falling on Saturday, I guess we get to, what, Monday? Tax day is the 17th now. And Congressman Stark wanted to drop by and talk about some issues that might be of particular concern to, you know, working Americans who are out there doing, what's legally required of them and, you know, the right thing to, you know, paying their taxes. But paying your taxes these days involves more than just filing the forms because, of course, there are greed heads in the Bush administration who think that they ought to be able to let their cronies make a fast buck off of you. So about quarter after the hour, Congressman Stark will be calling in. I look forward to the conversation. And, of course, you do know how to reach the program. Any old time you feel inspired, the number is 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number 4, Head On. It's very easy. So is email. Bob@headonradio.com. Now, beyond another program note tomorrow evening, another guest at roughly the same time. See, I like to get the guests in about a quarter after the first hour because that gives us a chance to discuss whatever it is they have to say afterward. And tomorrow evening, John Lesh, running for Congress in Illinois, in the very district occupied by Dennis J. Hastert, Right Dishonorable Speaker of the House. He's got a chance. He's got a chance of beating him if we give him some help. And John Lesh appears to be a good man. He's a former worker in the Kucinich campaign, military veteran, smart guy, compassionate. And not only is he going to be talking to me, he's going to be talking as well to you. So if you know someone who lives in that district, or if you know some Illinoisans, is that right? I don't know. You might want to let them know that John Lesh is going to be on the program, and he will be taking listener calls as well. That's the way it is with smart, progressive, liberal Democrats. You know, they can field the occasional phone call. I'll tell you what. Let's take an early break so that we don't have a break on us on top of us when Congressman Stark comes along. Beyond that, though, jump in line. I think we've got some stuff to talk about that, well, all across the board. And no, it wasn't Condoleezza that said 16 days. But something very, I made a little mistake last night, but something very similar was said by the State Department. So we'll cover all of that when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Yeah, work the shoe
we're
leather
a nice
group.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Because liberals built America. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
And the slow parade of fears without prize. Now I want
Welcome back. I'm Bob. It's Thursday night. And let's go immediately to the phone. I hate to keep people waiting. Congressman Pete Stark is with us. Congressman Stark, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks,
you for calling.
Bob. Nice to be with you.
It's a real pleasure for me and an honor to talk to you, sir. I've followed your work, and there's a lot in it to admire.
Thank you very much.
In particular, this this instance, though, with I guess we get a little bit of a break with Tax Day falling on Monday, but there is a particular issue that has caught your attention, and I know that you, in conjunction with Congressman Jim McDermott of Washington, are trying to raise awareness of it around the country. Could you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Well, what happens is the IRS rules have always limited your and my tax return information, everybody's. When you go to one of these people who fill it out for you, H&R Block or one of those type of companies, that they can't share any of that information except in, with what they call affiliate groups. I suppose if you had a bank fill it out for you, then the bank could share it with their trust company. But you've got to approve it. Now, most of us get these privacy things in the mail, and we don't know whether we're approving it or disapproving it. So it's not hard for the preparer to get you to either forget to check a box or to check a box and end up approving their distribution. But the IRS has suddenly said that those tax preparers could sell this information. Name, address, social security number, employer, income, charitable donations, all of that kind of detail about you to anybody they chose to.
Where did this idea come from?
Darned if I know.
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense to me. There has been, in the interest of privatization, as you know, the IRS will now let you use certain credit card facilitators to pay your income tax. They don't do it directly, which I think they should. I don't know why they have to go through a third party, but they've got two companies that I charge you about a 2% fee, and then you can pay your income tax on a credit card. So they're tending, and they're also hiring private collection agencies to do collection on past due accounts. So
that's that one's creepy, Congressman.
It all is. I mean, Bob, you and I could argue about what government could do or shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Or how big it should be or not, but there are a few things that I think we all think the government should do. I think we should fight wars. I don't think that Pinkerton or Wackenhut should be hired to fight our wars for us.
Right.
And by the same token, the IRS, as painful as it is, we need money to run the country, and I think we do a good job. They've been, I think, pretty fair. I think they've kept secrets. You know, I don't think they've allowed any administration to really use the IRS for political purposes, and I think that's good.
Well, I remember, Congressman, the initiative that was taken by President Clinton to sort of rein in and make more humane the Internal Revenue Service, and that seemed to be working fairly well. These are federal employees at this department, and the idea that we would outsource their jobs to private collectors is wrong. And secondly, is it strictly an administrative decision that suddenly they can decide that our tax returns are fodder for H&R Block to make a fast buck on our marketing demographics?
I guess so. And here's another one that'll scare you. These preparers, the guys, these companies that do it, and I just want to, there are others, I'm trying to think of the Jackson Hewitt is another.
Yes.
I don't want to blame just H&R Block. But a lot of times they send your data overseas. And the tax preparers sort of outsource this work. So you've got your data being shipped to heavens knows where, and people who don't come under any of our laws are mucking around with your personal information, filling out these tax returns or processing them on a computer. And we all know that we're getting, say, from Eastern Europe, all the people who are committing a lot of phishing expeditions on the internet and things mm-hmm. like that are coming from offshore, where it's harder for us to get at them. So there seems to be a move in this, and that Jim and I are concerned about. Say, wait a minute, we're opening the door here to making available a whole lot of information that I think people don't want to have shopped around.
Is this something that that legislation in Congress could remedy?
Yes. And I think it's that important. I don't introduce legislation just to create a conversation. I think I'm going to have bipartisan support. I don't think this is a partisan issue.
I would think this would drive a traditional fiscally sound policy kind of oriented Republican straight up the wall.
Well, let's put this. I think as they think it through, and I've had a lot of support on privacy issues on both sides of the aisle. Whether it's I legislate more in the healthcare arena, but even there, right? And there we're changing. I mean, there are perhaps some reasons to share non-sanitized data, so they can't tell who it is, so we can learn more about how to fight cancer or what kind of procedures work. I think we're going to have to learn to live with some of that to get better health care. But I don't know what it does for my financial privacy to tell everybody what charities I donate to or from whom I borrow money or any of those kinds of things.
Well,
I think I used to be a banker,
mm-hmm.
and I used to say there's two things, their checkbook and their bathroom are two places that people just don't want anybody nosing around.
Exactly.
I've always, and as you know, that was always the first thing they ever taught bankers or any bank employees was protecting the privacy of people's financial information.
And, of course, with the Patriot Act, I think we have a diminution of some of that. Does some of this arise out of the mindset that seems to have gripped this country since 9/11?
I can't think of any reason why if the IRS, if the CIA were coming in or somebody like that saying, oh well, we want to search through this information because we have information that Stark is sending money over to Al-Qaeda, and he's deducting it. Maybe you can make a case, but this is just selling one private company to whom you've gone for tax assistance,
mm-hmm.
and they're not—they don't have the ethics standards. I mean, I'm not saying they're unethical, but they don't have the standards that an attorney or a CPA has to abide by.
They don't have the fiduciary duty,
and they're not licensed by the states.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are selling a service, and many of them, I might add, do a darn good job.
Sure.
But the idea that you can then turn around and sell this same information to an insurance subsidiary or a lender who wants you to take out a home equity line, I think is just dead wrong.
Well, what will your proposed legislation accomplish?
What our proposed legislation is, it will prohibit tax preparers from using our information to drum up other business. In other words, they can't, under any circumstances, get people to sign away their privacy rights because it's too easy to flim-flam that or put a double negative in.
Well, sure.
And it would preclude them from selling the taxpayer content information. And it also prohibit them from sending returns overseas or out of their control, as I like to put it,
mm-hmm.
so that these returns could. There's no way to ensure privacy.
Could you give it? Is there a formal bill number yet?
No, there is not. We've got I think a half a dozen co-sponsors, and this far, and I don't think we have. I don't think we've. Whoop! I'm sorry. I'm told, here it is, it's 5075.
HB 5075?
HR 5075.
Or HR.
Taxpayer Privacy Act.
Okay, I'm jotting that down because how many sponsors do you say you have?
Oh, I think we've got four so far, and we have several others who are talking about signing on. I think we just talked about this the last day or so before we went off on recess, but I would imagine when we get back we'll get a few other people helping us.
Well, I would think that the folks that are listening this evening might very well contact their individual representatives and encourage them to join on and co-sponsor this, because I think you're absolutely right, Congressman. This doesn't strike me as one of those things where no one can reach across the aisle on it.
Absolutely. And I would hope, Bob, that I can get the New American Liberal Radio struggling community to join with us, and some of the other people who can spread the word when there is concern. I deeply appreciate it.
Well, there are a lot of concerns out there, quite frankly, Congressman. When I see things like this coming out of the IRS, I sense something in the executive branch right now that we've referred to as sort of a make it up as you go along approach.
Yeah.
You know, this unitary executive. I've read the whole article dealing with the executive branch, and I can't find a unitary executive or a Unitarian executive for that matter. And it just seems like they haul these things out of thin air.
Well, often they do, and I think that there's a bit of an independence among the various federal agencies that just lets them go ahead as they see fit, and I don't think that helps us.
With regard to the bill itself, Congressman, do you have any hopes for the speed with which you hope to see it move? I mean, we understand the committee process and everything, but is there any way to give it a boost?
Well, I've yet to talk to Bill Thomas, my chairman on the Ways and Means Committee, on which Jim and I both serve and who would have jurisdiction on this. But my guess is that we'll get some help there. And to be perfectly honest with you, we've got to turn this into a Republican-led bill. I'm perfectly willing to see one of my Republican friends take the lead and get the credit, because that's really the key. They're not too keen right now about having Democrats lead a charge that might make a Republican administration not put them in the best light. So we'd like to turn this, if we could, over to some of our Republican friends and say, look, we'll help in the minority, but you guys have to pick this up.
Have you had any conversations with your colleagues in the Senate? Are they aware of this issue?
No, I haven't, but I would bet you that Chuck Grassley, who is a good old Midwesterner and Midwestern values, would pick up on this issue of privacy.
And he sits on some of the
he chairs the Senate Finance Committee.
That's what I was thinking. Yes,
he's top dog in that group, and I'm hoping that he'd join with us.
Well, Congressman Stark, I sincerely appreciate you taking time to join us this evening. We'll follow the bill, and I hope you have success with it, because I already get enough emails from you know that guy he's been moving around, like he was in Nigeria and then the Philippines and Eastern Europe, and he always tells me he's got these oil shares that he needs me to negotiate for him.
I always get the email from the guy who says, "Gee, I've got a chance to get this money, but you've got to send me a check to show."
Yeah, that guy.
Huh?
That guy.
Is
yeah.
he the same guy that's getting after you? But...
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm afraid if they sell my tax return information, I'm going to get 10 more of these things a day.
Well, maybe we can get that guy in a corner. And we'll if we get him cornered, maybe we can split what he's got.
It sounds like a good idea to me, Congressman.
You be well.
All right, you too. And what a pleasure making your acquaintance.
Well, and I hope if we get a little further down the line, I'll enlist your help again.
We'll be right there for you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Congressman Pete Stark, California, trying to do a little bit to protect your privacy, because this really does have far-reaching implications. It's not just ne'er-do-wells who want the information, but telemarketing firms, and it's legal. Oy. And really, honest to God, who needs more? Because telemarketing and spam. And beyond that, the possibility for identity theft. I'm guessing we don't need that. So let's take a break, come back. I'd love to have your thoughts on it. It is, again, HR 5075. He says he's got about four sponsors or so. If you happen to live in a place with a Republican member of Congress, well, you heard Congressman Stark. He'd like to turn it into a Republican issue and let them carry the ball so we can get this done. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's Oxycontin Free Radio. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
You don't have to tell me. I know where you've been.
I guess they say rain's coming tomorrow, but what a beautiful evening it is here in the hills of West Virginia. You should see it. These spring evenings are magnificent. And, you know, you sit in the dead of winter and you think it's never going to get here. Well, it's here, and it's gorgeous. Let's go to the phones. Our friend David in Maine has been waiting for quite some time through the interview. Thanks for your patience, David.
That's not a problem. That was an interesting conversation. I really don't have anything to add on that.
That's okay.
To pick up where we were talking about last time, about how sending a postcard and Jim says that it would incinerate, that's kind of discouraging to hear that.
It is, but I mean, Jim worked inside the belly of that beast.
I know, but I'm just saying it really doesn't make sense if it's just a piece of paper and there is no envelope or anything. If they're going to try to claim anthrax scare, I mean...
No, they just don't care.
Yeah.
They just slap don't care, and that's depressing.
That is kind of depressing.
I mean, I guess General Patton used to get fan mail, and God knows MacArthur loved his fan mail, but those days are apparently gone.
Well then, maybe we need to send it to a whole bunch of retired generals.
Well, now there, that makes some sense, and you know, maybe I need to work on trying to get General Zinni on the program.
You know, maybe
this is pure excuse making on my part. I would have more guests than I have, David, except for the time and effort that goes into getting them. I mean, you can spend a half a day tracking down somebody, and in the meantime, you're not getting your work done. It gets a little dicey.
Well, I guess we have to use a process of cliff notes and just basically editing out and just getting the basic highlights of what people say on the radio and just kind of continue on that basis.
Well, to a certain extent.
For a lot of these people. The main reason why I called today was I'm going to debut a new segment on your program.
Okay.
And it's called Sleight of Hand Delusionist Report.
Okay.
And what it has to do with is what we were talking about, I think, 2 weeks ago, where the people playing Texas Hold'em poker or whatnot.
And we're playing Uno.
Yeah, those people on the clipboard, they don't have anything except get power and a question mark. How do we do that? And I noticed Karl Rove is back out and this points more to my more evidence toward what I was saying earlier. Now Karl Rove's back out giving a speech, and I just realized something. If you were in the Yakuza, if you were in the Chinese Triad, and if you were in the Mafia, would you actually reveal yourself and reveal what you think about certain people and give speeches and talk? I think it's better to just play in the shadows. So that leads me to believe that this guy, again, what we were saying earlier, he really doesn't have any power.
Well, it's not just that, David. It's the fact that they have to get him out there. It's, you know, this is a very Soviet-style administration. You have to drag Yuri Andropov every now and then just to let people know that he's still alive.
Right.
And in the case of Karl Rove, you get him out on the speaking circuit. You let him give a couple of sound bites here and there just to remind people that he still is the most powerful man in Washington.
Right. Which leads me to the first inductee of the sleight of the hand delusionist. And the reason why I call them delusionist instead of illusionist, because they sell you delusions and you really get nothing in return.
And they've got a bunch of their own.
Yeah. Former CIA officer Ruhl Mark Gerecht.
Okay.
Of the American Enterprise Institute. I just caught my eye on this Sidney Blumenthal article on Salon. The last three paragraphs are what important to me, and I guess I'll read those right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Which brings us to former CIA officer Ruhl Mark Gerecht, currently a fellow at the neoconservative American Enterprise Institute. In 2003, Gerecht was among the loudest proponents of giving the Arabs the old shock and awe treatment, arguing that Iraqis, Arabs, and Middle Easterners in general only understand the language of force. Writing in the Wall Street Journal on April 3rd, Gerecht warned bluntly that for the United States to succeed in Iraq might require far more bloody-minded tactics than have been utilized thus far. First, Gerecht notes with satisfaction that many Sunnis have been frightened and intimidated by Shiite militias, adding Sunni and Kurdish fear of Shiite power is politically overdue and healthy for all concerned. And then he gets to the heart of the matter. The Bush administration would be wise not to postpone any longer what it should have already undertaken. Securing Baghdad, pacifying Baghdad, will be politically convulsive and provide horrific film footage and skyrocketing body counts. But Iraq cannot heal itself so long as Baghdad remains a deadly place. Does Gerecht's proposal foreshadow a new effort, a last push by neoconservatives to urge the administration to win the war in Iraq by overwhelming force, by sending yet more U.S. forces to engage in yet more fruitless shock and awe fantasies? Do Khalilzad's recent Get Tough on Iran remarks foreshadow a neoconservative effort to expand the losing war in Iraq into Iran itself while casting blame on Iran for the U.S. failure to secure or pacify Iraq? Can the United States persist in Iraq fighting not one, but two growing resistance movements, or is it time to cut our losses? time to cut and run.
Now, wait just a minute there, David. Am I to understand that this guy is saying that Iraq is not bloody enough to suit him?
That's right. And this goes back to when you're in what we were talking about like a month before, about how when people get in air-conditioned conference rooms, the mind starts running, and since they've never been in these situations, and they're inundated by ideas, and they think of the military just like a game of Risk.
Yeah.
These are the thoughts that come out, and nobody see. And this is why, Bob. This is why it's crucial to understand this. We need to start putting these people on the dartboard immediately when they put this stuff out there. And
this guy's just insane.
I know it's insane. It was printed in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, okay. I mean, but they're insane too. So.
Yeah, they're insane too. And he has some really radical ideas on shaping the Middle East. In my opinion.
Well, I knew that I was going to have a little low grade hissy on this, David.
I know.
When I heard that statement that people in you know, because it's the same mindset that we got in Vietnam too. It's General Westmoreland saying, these people don't value life the way Americans do. You know, when you say these people don't understand anything but force.
I got news for Gerecht. They don't care about a shock and awe. They're ready to die. We aren't.
Yeah.
It comes down to that simple.
We're in their house. We are in their land.
You know what's really scary about this is that it's not just creating, it's like I say, it's not creating an illusion. It's creating a serious, dangerous delusion in somebody's mind and actually selling this to a public. And, you know, I think there should be criminal charges on something like that. I really do, personally, if the result turns out to something bad. I mean, they do it all the time to in legal courts for lesser offenses.
Yeah. This is that gang, David. That watched Dr. Strangelove and didn't understand it was a comedy.
And you know what this also has to do with? This has to do with being envious of never serving the military because they were afraid, so they need to take some sort of sign of power and act like a know-it-all when they really don't know crap.
Well, you know, I don't know if you were listening last night, David, but this thing struck me about how maybe all the talk of nuking Iran was a setup to get us comfortable with the idea of a huge conventional bombing campaign. Well, I ran across it today. Now, granted, this is from the freaks at Newsmax.com, but that's the audience that this is going to be aimed at. You and I, David, we understand that any kind of monumental bombing campaign against Iran is going to be butt wrong. We got that. You know, we're on the memo for that. But the right wing nuts and the so called centrists, they have to be convinced that, well, at least we didn't nuke them. And so I'm looking here today at retired Air Force General Tom McInerney calls it the Big George scenario. Big George. According to the man who helped plan the first air war against Saddam in 1991, U.S. aircraft armed with conventional bunker buster bombs would be more than enough to wipe out Iran's nuclear and missile facilities and cripple its ability to command and control its military forces. Now, I said that last night. This happened today.
You know, Bob, the thing that doesn't make any sense, and this is the thing that I think the Democrats need to jump on board. Why they're on vacation, I don't even know. But everybody needs to jump on board with a simple fact of like this. Their reactor is 75 feet underground. So you're going to do conventional weapons. You're not going to get the reactors, morons. You're not going to get them.
No.
So what's the point of doing it? You're just going to get them mad.
Well, dig
ridiculous.
This. Here's what he says. In his Big George scenario, the United States would attack 1,000 targets in Iran. That's 1,000. In Iran, 15 B-2 stealth bombers based in the United States and another 45 F-117s and F-22s based in the region would carry out the initial waves of the attack, crippling Iran's long-range radar and strategic air defenses. Massive additional waves of carrier-based F-18s, F-15s, F-this, F-that. Oh, boy, are they going to be effed. Launching from ground bases in Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, and the UAE, Afghanistan, and Bahrain would take out Iran's known nuclear and missile sites. These guys are criminally, hopelessly, certifiably insane.
They are criminal. See, the problem with this is I don't think people even realize is that when you continue to go down this road and you don't have any exit strategy, you're putting,
I know,
not just putting me, you're not putting me in danger, you're not just putting you in danger, you're putting everybody in danger.
The whole world.
The whole world. And I still cannot figure out for the life of me what it is that they think they'll gain monetarily or...
It may not be monetary. I mean,
I know, it may not be monetary. It may just be for ego, and that's a scare.
No. Wait. Maybe because you're a normal, rational human being, David, you can't conceive of the fact that there are people out there that are religiously criminally insane.
And this,
you know,
this...
remember General Jerry Boykin? The
but,
guy
you know,
who said that we won the war in Mogadishu because our God was bigger than their God and the Muslims worship a false idol?
This falls under the category of delusion, too. Why is it that you want to punish Massawi by killing him so he can go to Allah?
God, well, you know, yeah, but see, that's the other side of the coin. These are hateful people. They, and I touched on this a little bit last night, and maybe I just fail at it, or maybe in describing it, normal people are sitting there going, no, Bob's pulling our leg again. Those people aren't really out there, but they are. They think that if they drop enough bombs in the right part of the world, Jesus is...
Right.
I'm not up for it. How about you?
I think the only... You know what? Either way, Osama wins. They all go to heaven.
Yeah, they do. David, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
No problem. I will send you this information that I grabbed up.
Do please.
All right.
Thank you. Bye now. And onward to our good friend Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yourself?
Reasonably well. Now, if David wants to contact a particular member of the Pentagon staff,
mm-hmm.
I assume he's talking about either General Pace or one of his immediate subordinates. The best way to do that, the only way I know to do it, is to go to your congressman and reference the particular general officer by name,
mm-hmm.
with the particular question in mind, and the congressman will flag it. They will write a cover letter on it, and they will label it congressional. And it will go to an action officer in the Pentagon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that action officer will do the necessary research. And if he thinks it necessary, he will bring it to whosoever attention is in the chain of command. Now, the chances of it getting to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs desk are extremely rare, okay? Because these people have buffers with buffers and buffers.
Well, are you familiar with the book Flatland?
No, I'm just familiar with how this works.
Yeah, I know, but you're reminding me of something right now, Jim, and it's a great classic book. But in that book, people in power have flappers, and they are people who stand there and flap the gums of the people higher up. And the flappers have flappers, and the flappers' flappers
well,
have flappers.
That's the way the bureaucracy is.
That's what this is.
Well, that's the way the bureaucracy is set up, and it really has to be that way. Because, I mean, it has to. That's the way it has to work.
Yeah, because you can't just call the chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
No, you can't call the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and I mean, my God, the man would be besieged, and he's going to be besieged anyway, I think. But I mean, basically, if you are serious about what you're doing, and you're not trying to do something just to get attention, and you want a serious answer, then that's the best way. Because the best way to contact any federal agency, whether it's DOD or whether it's the Social Security Administration or whomever, you know.
Is to go through your elected representative.
And right, and so what they do is they will send it through the Office of Congressional Legislative Liaison, who in turn will contact the particular action officer in that agency. And now when it comes to that person's desk, it's got a suspense on it. And normally congressionals don't have a suspense longer than 10 days. I used to have to answer congressionals all the time. I've answered probably 2,000 or 3,000 of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way you get an answer out of an agency, and that's the way they will take you seriously. It might not be as much it might not be as much fun, but that's the way it has to be done, and that's the way the system is set up to handle it. Well,
I also like his idea of contacting this consortium of retired military mucky mucks and at least letting them know that we have their back.
Well, yeah. I mean, now, how are you going to find out where these guys live?
No, there are ways. It can be done.
Well, I mean...
It would take me a day of doing it, but I could get General Zinni on this show, sure.
You think so?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, if they're willing to go on CNN I'm talking about, you know, as far as writing them a letter or something like that.
Yeah.
They're probably... I think all of their addresses are... I know they're probably in Northern Virginia, if they're still around the D.C. area or someplace like that, but that's pretty much close-hand information, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And it would have to be that way. And what were you saying about the bunker-busting bomb 75 feet down, that type of thing?
Well, there was a link at WD40.com a couple of days ago from the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very well-put-together animation that showed that even if a bunker-busting nuke was used, it wouldn't get the job done. It simply wouldn't get the job done.
It wouldn't penetrate 75 feet?
It wouldn't penetrate far enough to take out the bunkers, no. No, not at all.
What megatons? I mean, what type of nuclear weapon were they talking about?
They were talking particularly about the bunker buster that has been touted by the DOD.
The nuclear bunker buster?
Yeah.
Does it have any type of a nomenclature or any designation?
Oh, it's a B something. It's got. If you'll look up the Union of Concerned Scientists, I think it's UCOS.org. But if you'll look that up, you'll find the animation there, Jim, and they tell you exactly which bomb they're talking about, the killer, the megatonnage, everything.
Mm-hmm. And they claim that it will not penetrate 75 feet.
Right. And they also claim that under many circumstances, the shockwave won't get where it's supposed to go either.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting because most of these nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, they can penetrate further than 75 feet. As a matter of fact, the crater that they leave is sometimes 300 feet across.
Well, I tend to, you know,
I'm not disputing you or arguing with them, but I mean, that is news to me. But to me, that's quite remarkable.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all because, you know, we screw up. We are in a time and a phase where we have a hard time doing things right, whether it's ground penetrating bunker busters, so to speak, or whether it's the Osprey aircraft. We have a hard time, and it goes back to the Bradley fighting vehicle. That thing was a monumental screw up.
Well, yeah, I remember back in 1983 when they were having congressional hearings on the Bradley, and they were using tranquilized pigs inside to test the efficacy of or its ability of its armor to defeat certain types of projectiles and things of that nature. I do remember that.
Yeah, and now we...
Well, when it comes to the nuclear-type weapons, I mean, you know they've tested these things, and they know what they'll do. And maybe they are going to fall short of the mark, and maybe they won't. But...
Well, it makes sense to me that the nature of that explosion would... They go up, not down.
Well, Bob, they've got them built so that they can burrow.
Well... That's what they've tried to sell us. But the fact of the matter is, I was reading this a year ago that any proposed attack on Iran could probably not take out their entire nuclear system, because it's not like Asirak in Iraq. It's not in one place.
No, I mean it's a very large country. It's like three times the size of Iraq.
And they had the foresight to scatter their program all over that country.
Well, I mean they had the benefit of lessons learned from what happened to their neighbor.
Exactly, exactly.
And of course that's going to be hard to penetrate. As a matter of fact, I do know that they can't find a lot of these facilities with their satellites that have been tasked for that particular mission. They can't do it. And how they're going to find these things, I don't know.
And I'm informed that that link to that animation will soon be on the front page at headonradionetwork.com.
Hmm.
If you want to watch it. We've got to hit the top of the hour, Jim.
Well, all right.
All right. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Likewise.
Bye now. And when we come back, more of your phone calls. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. Zacharias Moussaoui took the stand for the second time in his death penalty trial today. Moussaoui told the court that it, quote, made his day, unquote, to see accounts of Americans suffering as a result of the events of September 11th. Moussaoui said that he had no regret or remorse for his admitted role in the attacks. Moussaoui also said he believed George Bush would free him from prison and allow him to return to London. A new black ops program has been revealed by intelligence officers. According to present and former intelligence officers, the U.S. is bypassing normal intelligence channels and is turning to a group of right-wing terrorists operating within Iran for intelligence gathering there. The use of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK, was being pushed by Cheney and Rumsfeld with Rice in opposition for black ops. MEK has been in the employ of the U.S. since shortly after the 2003 invasion of Iraq. New data from the Iraqi government puts the number of Iraqis who have fled their homes at 65,000. These Iraqis have fled their homes because of a burgeoning Iraqi civil war. The civil war started in February after the bombing of an important Shia shrine and has continued with attacks on mosques in various parts of the country. Here in the U.S., 48% of Americans would back a war with Iran if Iran continues to seek nuclear technology. A new poll conducted by the Los Angeles Times and Bloomberg found that an even higher percentage, 54%, believe that George Bush would make the wrong decision with regard to Iran. In another poll, this one by Quinnipiac, 29% of New Yorkers favored the violation of civil liberties to fight terrorism. U.S. automaker Ford Motor Company said today that despite the rising costs of gasoline, it will continue to make and sell its enormous gas-guzzling sports utility vehicles, or SUVs. Ford Motor Company has plans to close 14 plants, lay off 30,000 workers, and remake the ways it does business. Some say the automakers are out of touch and can't compete against import autos with much better gas mileages. There are more rumblings at the Pentagon about secret police. This time, the merger of two separate divisions could create a new ultra-secret domestic spying unit. The merger of the counterintelligence field activity and the Defense Security Service was first recommended by BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. Both units have been spying on U.S. citizens and have kept dossiers on domestic anti-war groups. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Mr. and Mrs. Green, let's talk about ways to grow your wealth.
Where can we get the highest return with the lowest risk?
These days, elections.
We don't usually get involved in politics.
Well, consider this. Over the past 4 years, the pharmaceutical sector turned $44 million in contributions into Medicare legislation worth $139 billion in profits.
Not
bad. Who shall we make the check out to?
Want to protect your outrageous wealth? Invest in the right candidate.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
Hopscotching over 2006, presidential hopeful number one announced his candidacy for the nation's highest elected office today. Mike Gravel, the Democratic senator from Alaska from 1969 to 1980, will announce his candidacy on April 17th in Washington, D.C. Legislation introduced in the House of Representatives recently would allow same-sex couples the same Social Security benefits as heterosexual couples. The bill, introduced by Representative Nadler of New York, would also add the term permanent partner in addition to the already present language of husband and wife. The bill presently has 17 co-sponsors. Congressman John Conyers has been accused of using his congressional staff as babysitters. Several complaints were filed with the House Ethics Committee, but were dropped and no further actions have occurred. The allegations have not been answered by Conyers. The latest fossil uncovered in Africa may be the most definitive piece of evidence for evolution thus far. The newest fossil, the species Australopithecus anamensis, was found in the region of the Middle Awash, where seven other human-like species spanning nearly 6 million years and three major phases of human development were previously discovered. According to a co-author of the study, the unique location and discovery provides a glimpse into 6 million years of developmental evolution in humans. On the immigration rights front, many of the marchers in recent rallies have been paying high prices for their participation in the marches. In several states, workers lost their jobs for choosing to rally for citizenship. In Tampa, Florida, undocumented students were suspended for walking out of school to demonstrate. The check's in the mail, or at least the postcard is. A postcard originating at a Florida address was returned to that address recently with a return to sender stamp on it. Included on the postcard was the postmark, stamped in 1956. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. Let's do some more high-quality liberal talk. No, not talk. Liberal conversation radio. This is the next wave. You know that, of course. This idea, you know, I got no stomach for, you know, well, you know, mega dittos, and no. That's enough about you. Let's talk about me. Yuck. Let's do what we're here for. Let's go right back to the phones. David is joining us from near Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Well, a happy sunny Thursday evening to you, Bob.
Well, thank you very kindly. Same way down where you are?
Oh, absolutely. It's utterly, utterly gorgeous. You know, there's something on the grill that's taking its time, and it's a wonderful evening. And before I launch off into any kind of topic, I just must give praise where praise is due. I want Bruce to understand that nicely, properly, with great emphasis, enunciating Australicus, whatchamacallicus, you know, automus, potamus. By golly, that's real serious accomplishment in radio. That's broadcasting.
When you can cruise right over Australopithecus, man, you're getting somewhere.
Yeah, what you said. You go, boy. I've been sitting on a thought, and here it is Easter, you know, when rabbits give birth to chocolate eggs. So I've been sitting on this thought
right
for a while.
Yeah.
I've heard the phrase, and this has been running around in my head, and it's been, all right, it's time to get rid of it. I'm going to lay it on you guys, and you can do with it what you will. The phrase, exit strategy. Why doesn't our president how come our leaders, what the hell are those generals thinking about without an exit strategy? We've heard that, haven't we?
I got a real gutful of that during the Kosovo thing.
Well, we heard it, and we keep hearing it, and to ask a question is to expect an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Ask that question, it's reasonable to think that all of us asking that question think that this group of neocons could potentially answer that, create that, have done it right.
Well, there's no exit strategy, David, because they don't want one.
Well,
they don't plan to exit.
Let's go a little bit more primal about this, Bob.
All right.
You've got a male. You've got a male who may be gay, he may be straight, he may swing both ways, old, young, it doesn't matter. And when a male is loaded, and I don't care if it's Grey Goose, Cold Duck, amyl nitrate, I don't care. He doesn't care about an exit strategy. All he wants to do is penetrate and feel the explosion. He wants to watch the stars go really bright. He kind of figures that some way, somehow, the exit strategy will take care of itself. And these political, philosophical equivalent of men with terminal short man's disease because they refuse to serve in the military the first time around when it mattered, all they want is to ram it in and sense the explosion. They've never, ever had the wherewithal to put together an exit strategy. They're not going to respect anybody in the morning.
No. And that's one of the most trenchant ways of looking at it that I've heard in recent memory, David. There is a definitive sort of psychosexual link to it all.
I believe that. I know everybody in the audience, or several people in the audience, will say, "Oh yeah, that's the guy with he's the serious student of overstatement." Wait a minute, they either want to turn up the radio or run for the fridge.
Well, you know, with the neocons or the freaks or the madmen or the insane people or whatever you want to call them, I have long said that if they can't steal it, they want to it, you know.
It's one of the few ways in their cloistered little lives in those air-conditioned 68-degree rooms with nothing but Fox News, they can have a jolly or two. That's all they're thinking about. They want to drive forward. The exit strategy will take care of itself. And it's frightening. You know, here's this little man. He's got his hands on the button of the most powerful mechanism in the world. And he's who he is and what he is. And he is lining up the next target. He's dialing in the next one. And he wants to do it because he enjoys it. And he wants to do it because he thinks it will excite. Maybe I shouldn't say that word. Motivate. Pull together. Make his base come together behind him or in front of him. I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
Well, here they go again.
To quote
the great communicator, here they go again.
Oh, Lord. You know, that, and there's so much truth in that. I mean, this goofy-ass article I've got from Wingnut Central over at Newsmax, this guy, this retired goon, retired Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, has named his bombing strategy for Iraq Big George. And he's got a fallback plan called Big Rummy. I'm looking for, I'm trying to get, there's several pages of this, but I'm looking for Big Condi. No, they're all masculine references. Yeah.
No. The third alternative for that plan was Giant Stiffy. I better be careful. Agnes has the big editorial thumb ready for that over there. I'm on thin ice. I can feel it from from all the way over here in Middle Tennessee.
Well, you know, the fact that what this this article also turns out to be a smear of Seymour Hersh.
Of course.
Who has been right much more often than he has been wrong.
There's not a more impeccable track record going.
No.
You know, if you look at his last two huge articles that really, really made a splash, were etched in time, you know, they haven't gone away. Not very much of what that guy has chosen to put his editorial hand to and his research hand to. I heard him interviewed last night, and I was shaking. In 40 minutes of conversation radio between he and a skilled interviewer, it was so very easy to see George Bush in the Oval Office. They're close to, they're over my red line. You know, if they know how to make a bomb, I've got to stop them. You know, by morning, I could download from a very antiquated computer enough information on how to make a bomb.
Well,
I
sure.
Could be on the hit list by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Absolutely, there are those of us who remember classic television, and I'm thinking in particular of an episode of Barney Miller, where you know a guy was brought into whatever it was, the 57th precinct or whatever, carrying a little atomic bomb in a suitcase. Well, where'd you find it? Oh, I went to the library. You know, that's what makes the racism that's involved with this so readily apparent. They don't want Iran not to have a nuke because of any other reason than the fact that, you know, they're those people, Mildred.
And
those people can't have a bomb.
And they're a minimum of five, maybe as long as 10 years away. So we're going to create another massive record setting, you know, in the pantheon of bombing campaigns and how large and how many megatons and how many this and how many that and how many collateral, in other words, babies splattered into pink mist. They want to set a new record.
And they will. I mean, this plan as it's laid out calls for 1,000 targets to be hit.
Oh yeah, that crackpot general.
Yeah. That's you can't let them in here. They'll see the big board. Hitting 1,000 targets, and you know that doesn't mean one little bang.
No, and
collateral damage. I don't even think that. I don't know that they'll even have the nerve to use a phrase like that, David. Collateral damage.
I heard Mr. Hersh say last night that in his research, he was able to substantiate beyond any doubt on his part that George Bush and Rummy and all the rest of them did virtually nothing to consider civilian death and dismemberment. That was never, ever part of any equation. That their only interest was toppling Saddam. And if they died, oh, those died, them died, oh, those little brown guys died, they didn't care. They did nothing to factor that into any planning. He has tremendous evidence to prove that they never gave that a thought. You know, will it matter to that 14-year-old survivor of that family of six? Oh, gee, what will he turn into? Or she?
Oh, I know that they're... I don't know how people can forget that at Hiroshima there were children's shadows baked into brick walls. And that was all that was left of the child.
Well, let's never mind Japan for a while, because this guy that cycled through the ROTC department of a southern university, we were taught with great detail. Class ran for more than one day because they wanted us to understand that. The groundwork for the Korean resistance to us and the rest of the world was bred out of mistreatment by a generation of Korean youth 15 years before. And when they had a chance as 20, 21, and 22, and 23-year-olds to fight somebody that was identified as a problem for their country, they were motivated to the end of their life. And they didn't want the end of that life to come quickly, because the Japanese had created a massive group of very angry, vengeful, interested in revenge individual by treating parts of Korea the way we are treating Iraq right now, and we stepped into the middle of it. And we're mystified completely.
You know, I've never heard that analogy made before, David. Between the Japanese-Korean relationship and our relationship with Iraq.
Well,
and it is so true.
I bet I've made mistakes in particular, but in general, especially my good friend, good airways friend Jim, I bet he knows of the parallel that I speak about. There was a motivated group of abandoned, abused Korean youth that formed the backbone of that North Korean army that wanted nothing of anyone from anywhere else. And they lived out a full generation of animosity. And they did it very well. They did it very, very well. And they still haven't forgotten. And they ain't gonna forget.
No, you don't. Look, you're a Southerner, okay? And how many years since First Bull Run? In the Deep South, we still talk about it.
Of course we do.
We still talk about what would have happened if Longstreet had gotten into position when he was supposed to on July the, 2nd, 3rd, 1863 at Gettysburg. We still...
I only feel it. You can call the date that give me that feeling. So I'll trust your assessment of the actual date.
But you know, most of the American Civil War was conducted on the ground of the American South.
Our land.
And it is why it is not forgotten to this day.
Nope.
It is why that they still talk about the Crusades in the Middle East. The way that we discuss the tragic death of Albert Sidney Johnston at Shiloh. Oh, if only Johnston hadn't died. Nobody's when you've been invaded, you don't forget.
Well, and you're
not inclined to forgive.
No, because you still have a score to settle. You still have a score to settle. Now, the American South, I don't feel very many of us feel we have a score to settle. We have a memory to tend to because it was given to us, and we were told that should we forget it, we were lesser a human.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to go out and try to create a secession movement now? No, probably not.
No, but there are people down there who are already doing it, okay? I mean, no kidding. I mean, the people running around with their rusted rusted pickup trucks and their front bumper tags with the old guy with the beard with the Confederate battle flag over his shoulder and his butternut uniform, and it says, "Forget hell."
But
you know what?
When I was 14, I thought that was funny. I don't think that. I stopped thinking that was funny at about age 22.
Well, there are people that never thought it was funny. They thought it was a way to live. And, yeah, they are all over the South. And, frankly, the South has risen again. Most of the really virulent, hateful aspects of Republicanism are rising, and you know this as well as I do, out of the South.
And if those feelings, pardon the interruption.
No, please.
Bob, I sincerely believe that if those feelings had been allowed to, having grown and flowered and fallen over, I don't think that seed would have ever grown again to the extent that the Republican Party went around and gathered it up and plowed ground and put down fertilizer and watered it. They are to be hated by the rest of America forever for bringing so much of that back to life. Those bastards did that to the nation and to myself, to the eternal damnation of them. I hate them for that. I do hate them for that as much as anything else they've ever done, because those ignorant bastards would have gone away and never flowered again except for the likes of the Republican Party.
Well, exactly, because, up until Florida in 2000, you know, states' rights, states got to have the rights to decide what their own law is. You know, until such time as George Bush needed to file the petition before the Supreme Court saying, "Save me, I'm going to lose." And then states' rights went out the window.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was that. You know, and those people that want to further bigotry and hatred, they don't even think of that as corruption of states' rights. they view that as what their man had to do to make sure they won. Another evil, horrid corruption of the American political process, electoral process. Ugly and vicious and wicked, and it should have never happened.
And we're, you know, unfortunately, we're swamped in it. You know, there are little liberal pockets. They're not little. There's substantial liberal enclaves in the deep South. If you look at a map of the South electorally with the red and the blue, every settled civilized area is largely blue. It's that sea of red swimming around it that does them in. And that's where you have less access to education, because we know what the educational system is in the South. If you live in a city, you might have a decent public school. If you're out in the country,
they want to choke off good public education that you can walk into, sign up, and maybe pay for a few materials. They want to choke that off the same way they want to choke the federal government, see it drown in a bathtub. They only want good education to go to those that can pay for it in an academy, in a private school, because they don't like the idea of an educated public. They don't want all of America to be educated. They want to give their kids the ups by creating that educational system only they can afford.
Well, you know, last night, David, we talked with, I talked with Tammy Drought. She authored a book called Strapped. And she's talking about the backwards march of the educational system in this country. And I asked her, you know, did she think it was part and parcel of a deliberate plan? And I'm not sure we came down with a really solid answer on that. But I am certain that it is. Because, frankly, if you can destroy the American public educational system, you can elect Republicans from now until hell freezes over. Because the only way Republicans get into office is by virtue of ignorance.
Ignorance fostered by things like Fox News. And the less an individual is allowed, encouraged, demanded to think on their very own, the more likely it is that a little round thing in the room that says, Big Brother would like you to do, Big Brother says, war is good. You know, what is it? Peace is failure. You know, all those things made it work.
War is peace. Up is down. Red is blue. Day is night. Sure.
We're watching it right now on things like Fox.
Yeah, and I had a statistic just last week, David, that said something like 27% of schools nationally are failing at no child's behind left standards. Well, you know, here's the news flash. That's how it was designed. Because when you get the failure rate high enough, you can say, well, obviously, public education in America is a failure. Therefore, we need to send your children to the Jesus Academy, where they'll get a good, solid education, and they'll learn to believe that the sun stood still in the sky 5,000 years ago, and that cave women talked to snakes, and, you know, the litany.
I think it's worse than that. I don't think they want anybody 20 years from now to automatically go to a school. I don't even think they want that. I think they want the ability to say, this school is a failure. Therefore, we must create charter schools with vouchers. And we have 28,000 students in your district whose schools will be closed, and we have slots in 4,100 seats here for the best of your best to come to the available charter school. Use your vouchers. Have a nice day.
Welcome to the United States. Education optional.
Don't riot or we'll kill your ass.
I wish you were wronger than I think you are.
Sorry about that. Gee whiz, but it's still a pretty day.
Night's beginning to fall here, and it looks like a lovely evening, too. David, thanks so much.
Well, maybe Joe Vecchio will cheer us up.
We got no Joe tonight.
Oh,
Joe's having a little battle laryngitis, so he told me that there likely wouldn't be a report today, and I suggest that he rest his pipes. Saturday is on the way.
Yep, the rest now will pay off, pay great dividends. Well, Bob, thanks for letting me bum your high.
Thank you so much, David. It's always a pleasure.
Good night, Bob.
Bye now. Okay, so quick break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back. More of your phone calls at 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Let's talk. I'm Bob.
head on.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
WithEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycle shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Where does the time go? 26 minutes and change before the hour. We're halfway done with tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On. Night has fallen here over the hills and hollers of West Virginia. And I'm glad you can share your time with us. It means a lot to us. A reminder for you again, tomorrow night, roughly at the beginning of the show, we will be joined by congressional candidate John Lesch from Illinois, the man who dares to believe that he can do his own little part in cleaning up the filth that is the Republican Congress, and what he plans to do and what I believe he can do is unseat none other than the unseat the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. Oh, that, now there's a refreshing thought. So, like I said, if you know someone who lives in Illinois or lives in the district in which he is running, please tell them about the program, because I think it very important that they be able to ask their questions of him. We will be taking questions, and I hope you will have yours ready. Let's go to the phones now. Bob is joining us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, it's been a sad day for me.
Why is that?
Very sad.
Why is that?
Well, sometimes people get their panties in a bunch.
Yeah.
And
somebody did?
No, I'm just saying, sometimes people do.
Okay. Yeah?
They get their panties all in a bunch, and they got a problem with nuking Iran or murdering 3 million mothers and their children.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody knows they're just ragheads.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they're rug merchants.
Yeah, that too, and all kinds of other slurs that you can put on them, whatever you want to throw at them today.
Yeah, a bunch of hodgies.
Fox News.
Yeah, a bunch of hodgies.
Put them on Fox News, and they know everything. Just ask them. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know, what bothers me the most?
What's that?
Is that there's a bunch of, well, I won't say the word, but it starts with an A and it ends with a hole.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Out there. There's a whole bunch of them out there. They think they know everything. They jump on the chat. They jump into the, you know, into the news, or they got their things to say. And everybody listens to them like good little children listening to daddy. What if daddy's wrong, huh?
Yeah, well, good question.
Hey, what if daddy's wrong? What if daddy's drunk? What if daddy's stupid? What if daddy is...
What if daddy's drunk and stupid?
Crazy.
Criminally insane.
Oh, you're talking about George W. Bush again, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah, we hit the head on the nail, or the whatever you want to call it. Bob, it is this simple. It's simple. It's very simple. I teach my children to think first. Don't react. If you're mad or you're angry, go to your room, stew in your own juices, okay?
Yeah.
It'll toughen you up. Stew in your own juices. It'll toughen you up. And you know what? We got to get tough. Real tough, Bob.
Real tough, real quick.
Absolutely. And, hey, I you're a kindred spirit of mine. I know you are, and so many others are. But you got to stop thinking about self. When you think about me, or you think about yourself, I'm saying me. If I sit here and think about me all the time, good Lord, I'm in trouble. But when I think about all the others, not just here in this nation, if you want to call it that, but all others, this planet is covered with all others.
You're right. You're right, Bob, and that's why I said the other night what I did. I can visualize the people that George Bush wants to kill. And I'm not...
I can visualize what Martin Luther King said. little brown or little black boys walking down the street with little white girls hand in hand. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can visualize that. I cannot make it come true. You know, I cannot just, you know, poof, there it is, magic.
No, okay? No, we're not in the magic business.
Right, but the Bush administration is very much into the magic business. And they do it every day. Every day they pull the wool over your eyes and everybody else's. They throw out this Latino thing, you know, like they know about Latinos because Bush goes up and pretends to speak Spanish and he's speaking some kind of gibberish.
That's my suspicion.
No, he just, see, it's always a game with them. It's a game. It's like, what's that one, three-card Monte or the shell game?
Yeah.
Okay? But there's no P under there, and there's no queen.
No.
It's just a game, and it's a game played by cons. You got neocons. You know why they call themselves neocons?
Why is that?
Because neo-Nazi went out the damn door, and they call them goddamn skinheads. Excuse me, I said the word, didn't I?
Yeah,
I said GD.
Easy. Easy.
People, please forgive me. Hey, oh, Agent Fred, please don't come get me. I'm a third. See, that's the thing. They want to keep you afraid.
Okay, back up for a minute, though, Bob.
Okay.
You said that it's a con. You said it's a fraud, and I agree with you. But I also bring to the table and try to always bear in mind the three fundamental rules of W.C. Fields.
Okay.
And one of those is you cannot cheat an honest man.
Oh, yeah, you can.
No, you can't, because an honest man does not expect to get something for nothing. You cannot cheat an honest man.
Wait, Bob. Okay.
So, therefore, when you're talking about these people running a con, these right-wing Republicans, religion industrialists, the corporatists, the whole crowd, when you're talking about that, it must be borne in mind that the people they are conning are willful dupes, okay? They are rubes. They're the people that the carnies look at going down the midway and think, I can get $50 out of him. I'll keep him winning just a little bit. I'll get the money out of him. That is the people that voted for George Bush. The people that vote for these Republican congressional candidates, the people who believe that he's a godly man, these people are every bit as dishonest as he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, hey, if you want to find a dishonest man, just go to your local car dealer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And sit down and negotiate prices on whatever you want to buy. I mean, you know, he'll give you all kinds of smoke screens and tell you what a lovely buy you're getting, right? You know, but he'll never tell you the truth because his game is to what? Profit. He's like that, I don't know, there was some show a few years back that had some crazy, Space Station 9 on or something. And he had this guy, he had lots of real sharp looking teeth, and he was a dealer, and he would lie you into anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, he can spin a very nice tale. I mean, he can just kind of tell you whatever story, you know, you want to hear. But, see, he's playing on your weaknesses, son. He's playing on all of our weaknesses. And the biggest weakness we have is everybody's afraid. They're afraid of the big, bad Iridians with their nuclear bomb. Well, damn, weren't we just a couple of years back afraid of what was his name? Saddam Hussein was a big nuclear bomb?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the way the con works. That's the fraud.
I heard the other night that, they were going to send them UPS. And I said, well, okay, how are they going to get them in here? Because most of the UPS drivers I know won't lift anything over 50 pounds. they'll have the new guy do it. And I said, new guy? Give it to the new guy. He'll deliver it to the wrong damn address.
Well, you know, I remember, you remember the movie Blazing Saddles, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember when Sheriff Bart had to take out Mongo? That's how it works. That's how the Iranians are going to get the nuclear device of the United States. Candygram for Mongo. Candygram for Mongo.
I know. I'm burning up a lot of daylight, and I'm using up all your airwaves. But
We got lots of airwaves to spare, Bob. Don't worry.
Yeah, but for all the kids out there, I wanted to know that to relax. Just slow down. Take a deep breath. Realize that it's, when Armageddon gets here, it will be a surprise. It's not going to be on anybody's schedule. I don't care if it's G.W. Bush or all the boys in the Pentagon. If they pull the trigger, it's Armageddon. But if they do, guess who else gets fried? It's not just you and me. It's them, too. They're not that stupid, especially the guys in the Pentagon. And
the guys in the Pentagon have nuclear-hardened bunkers.
Bob, they know, and I know for a fact, that, yeah, they can have their nuclear-hardened bunkers, but when they come above ground, what are they going to find? Okay?
Okay.
What are they going to find? Nothing. You've got no people. You've got no planet. You've got nothing, no vegetation. You got nothing. So they're not that stupid, Bob, not in the Pentagon. What they are is very obedient, just like you and I. You're obedient. I'm obedient. We follow orders. We do our job. We get our pension. Not.
No, sorry.
Yeah, not. They forgot about that part. Not. You're not. If you do your job, you get your pension. It isn't going to happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These people that we're dealing with have no love for humanity. They have no love for the planet. The people you're dealing with have some crazy notion that, like you say, Jesus is going to step out of the clouds. Or is that, Mike? I get you too confused so easily. Who's going to step out of the clouds? Well, nobody, okay?
Ain't nobody coming down in no clouds.
Absolutely. So I'm just confused as to which way I should go, you know? I'm going to stay here where I'm at, and when the boys decide to instigate the draft, okay?
Yeah.
I will be the last station on the railroad, the underground railroad, to ferry them across into safe country. Just like during that war that everybody remembers, the one that's so important, that mystical war, the one with, what was his name, Robert E. P.? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, they let us into it then. They let us into it through the first, the second, through Korea, into Vietnam, and now to Iraq. Skip those other little skirmishes in between.
Yeah, Grenada, Panama, so what?
Yeah. Skip all those little ones, because they were just kind of like, what was that thing that I saw a show one time, a movie. It had something to do with news. It had something to do with
broadcast news?
Yeah, that's the one.
William Hurt.
Yeah, you're
Albert
real.
Brooks.
Bob, you're real. They are not real. And what they're projecting in front of your face is just a fantasy. And this thing about Iran is as fake as their fake news. It's as phony as a $3 bill. I've never seen one. I'd like to, because, damn it, I'd go to the store and spend it.
Maybe you could find a neocon who would accept it, Bob.
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm
That's okay. I know what you're getting at. I really, really do.
The phoniness, the fakeness, the lies, the misdirection stuff. It's kind of like somebody brought up Houdini the other night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Houdini was a master of illusion.
Yes.
Okay? In his day. But I'll tell you what, this neocon bunch, or these neo-fascists or neo-Nazis, what are you going to call them? They're the same difference. They are better at it than Houdini ever was. They have the whole world enthralled in their lies, in their fakery, in their phoniness, in their misdirection. Okay, look over here. It's the Mexicans. They're pouring across the border.
I know. I know. That's what I keep trying to that's what I keep trying to point out, Bob. You know,
I have served with every race and every nationality on this planet, including the Rus. Ah, oh yeah, the Ruskies. I served with them. I know them. They're, hey, guess what? Bob, if I ever have the pure opportunity to reach out and clutch your hand in mine and just to shake your hand, I know I will hold the hand of another living, breathing human being. And that's where we gotta stop. When I reach out to my Mexican brothers, my Russian brothers, my Afghan brothers, my Iranian brothers, my Iraqi brothers, all of my family, because they belong to me. They're part of my race. It's called the human race. There is no other.
No.
There is no other.
No, there's not. There's not. That takes us back to the very beginning, Bob, and what you were saying. Yeah, I, in my mind's eye, and I don't know if it's because it's the way I was taught, raised, trained, whatever, or just, you know, the way my brain is wired. In my mind's eye, I can see the people that George Bush wants to kill. I can see the people that General Peter Pace is willing to refer to as collateral damage. I can see the human beings that Donald Rumsfeld thinks are acceptable losses. I can see them.
Yeah, me and you.
And I know what their names sound like. And I know pretty much the history of their people over the last 5,000 years or so.
Like miners in a dark place we are.
Yeah.
Like miners in a dark place where no help is coming.
So as long as I can speak out, Bob, I'm going to speak out. And I'm going to say that these people don't deserve to die because, again, let's reinforce this. They are not going to kill, I don't care how many damn bombs they drop, they are not going to kill Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. They are not going to kill Ali Khamenei. They are not going to kill the well-heeled religious fundamentalist freaks that run that government because they have hardened bunkers that we can't reach. And they're just chock full of rose water ice cream and pita bread and hummus and all the one the lamb to grill down there and what and all the stuff you put in the bunker. Okay? They're not going to kill them. What they're going to do is they're going to kill some dude with a name that's tough to pronounce who gets up every day and rides his bicycle to his job at the pharmacy. And they're going to kill a mother. And they're going to kill a little girl. And they're going to kill a little boy. They're going to kill aunts and uncles and cousins. And of all of those, they can't kill all of them, and the ones who survive will swear a blood oath based upon their history and tradition that so long as an American breathes, they will be honor and duty bound for revenge, Bob. That's where we're going.
Sounds like Rebs and Yanks, don't it? Huh? The Rebs have still never forgiven the North for winning the war.
They still in that region over on the Levant, Bob, they still talk about what the Crusaders did when they marched into Jerusalem and slaughtered every single man, woman, and child within reach of their blades.
Yeah.
That was 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years. What? 20, 30 generations. And they talk about it around the dinner table like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And we are, and we have the unmitigated gall to think that we are going to screw with that. That's why I keep vacillating back and forth, Bob, between whether or not these people are evil geniuses or just common stupid street thugs. And when you're willing to go and do that, I tend to land on common stupid street thug.
Me too, Bob. It, bingo, 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 you hit the trifecta. No, you did. These people are common street thugs, and that's what they are. They're the guys with the three-card money and the shell game, okay?
Yeah.
That's all they are. That's all they've ever been. But they have perfected that street game, that three-card money. They've taken it up to the highest level. And now, because we, the people, have been lulled into this, I think it's like a stupor, okay? Kind of like a, you know.
Well, did you notice in the top of the hour news the one statistic that Bruce reported, and I found it rather interesting, Bob. He said that 48% of the American people say that if Iran continues to pursue a nuclear program, and whatever the hell that means, I don't know. Somebody needs to take these pollsters out and give them a shaking once in a while. That 48%, yeah, okay, we can go to war with Iran. But a larger majority said that whatever decision he makes, the decision that George Bush makes will be the wrong decision. A majority of America has now come to the place where they acknowledge that when George Bush does something, the odds are greater than even that he's gonna screw up.
Fact. Hey, just look at the record. He's never done anything that he didn't screw up. Okay?
Yeah.
He's never done anything. I mean, he has never done anything. The reason that he's in office is that we have a corrupt judicial system. We have a corrupt system within. It's full of, what was that they said to Nixon? There is
a cancer
on the presidency.
Yeah, the cancer has metastasized.
Yeah, well, it has, and it's not on the presidency anymore. It is on the electorate. Okay, the electorate, mm-hmm. on the people. The cancer has spread from the presidency, and the cancer is on us. And it's going to destroy us, Bob. And I'm sorry to absolutely, I mean, agree with Jim. I really am. But I've been inside, too, like Jim has, and Jim has been. And I am sorry, but I have to tell the truth, and the truth is Jim is right. I'd like to say no, 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 but see, then I would be looking for a magical solution. I'm sorry, there's no magical solution unless and until the entire United States populace, all of the people, wake up and rise up. And I'm not talking about some kind of a overthrow of the government. I'm saying take charge of what you have been.
And be the and be the government. We are
and
the government.
Be the government.
Stand up to the responsibilities that we have and the responsibilities that were saved and preserved through generations of people who literally put their blood into the dirt
and
that it could continue.
Numbers they've never seen before. I'm not talking about 2004 where we did show up in numbers they've never seen before, but in numbers they've never seen before. 75-85% of the people in Italy showed up to vote in numbers they had never seen before. And guess what? They threw out a thug, didn't they?
They threw out a thug. Bob, we've got to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, people, I'll leave you with this. All the people that listen to this show, go out and don't demonstrate. right?
If we just talk to our neighbors, it'll stop it. We got to go. Bob, we got to roll.
Okay.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Just talk. It's a long way from wherever you are to Washington, D.C., most odds are. Just talk. Talk to your neighbor. Be America. Right? Yeah, I think so. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats...
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. Zacharias Moussaoui took the stand for the second time in his death penalty trial today. Moussaoui told the court that it, quote, made his day, unquote, to see accounts of Americans suffering as a result of the events of September 11th. Moussaoui said that he had no regret or remorse for his admitted role in the attacks. Moussaoui also said he believed George Bush would free him from prison and allow him to return to London. A new black ops program has been revealed by intelligence officers. According to present and former intelligence officers, the U.S. is bypassing normal intelligence channels and is turning to a group of right-wing terrorists operating within Iran for intelligence gathering there. The use of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK, was being pushed by Cheney and Rumsfeld with Rice in opposition for black ops. MEK has been in the employ of the U.S. since shortly after the 2003 invasion of Iraq. New data from the Iraqi government puts the number of Iraqis who have fled their homes at 65,000. These Iraqis have fled their homes because of a burgeoning Iraqi civil war. The civil war started in February after the bombing of an important Shia shrine and has continued with attacks on mosques in various parts of the country. Here in the U.S., 48% of Americans would back a war with Iran if Iran continues to seek nuclear technology. A new poll conducted by the Los Angeles Times and Bloomberg found that an even higher percentage, 54%, believe that George Bush would make the wrong decision with regard to Iran. In another poll, this one by Quinnipiac, 29% of New Yorkers favored the violation of civil liberties to fight terrorism. U.S. automaker Ford Motor Company said today that despite the rising costs of gasoline, it will continue to make and sell its enormous gas-guzzling sports utility vehicles, or SUVs. Ford Motor Company has plans to close 14 plants, lay off 30,000 workers, and remake the ways it does business. Some say the automakers are out of touch and can't compete against import autos with much better gas mileages. There are more rumblings at the Pentagon about secret police. This time, the merger of two separate divisions could create a new ultra-secret domestic spying unit. The merger of the counterintelligence field activity and the Defense Security Service was first recommended by BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. Both units have been spying on U.S. citizens and have kept dossiers on domestic anti-war groups. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Mr. and Mrs. Green, let's talk about ways to grow your wealth.
Where can we get the highest return with the lowest risk?
These days, elections.
We don't usually get involved in politics.
Well, consider this. Over the past 4 years, the pharmaceutical sector turned $44 million in contributions into Medicare legislation worth $139 billion in profits.
Not
bad. Who shall we make the check out to?
Want to protect your outrageous wealth? Invest in the right candidate.
Easily paid for by billionairesforbush.com.
Hopscotching over 2006, presidential hopeful number one announced his candidacy for the nation's highest elected office today. Mike Gravel, the Democratic senator from Alaska from 1969 to 1980, will announce his candidacy on April 17th in Washington, D.C. Legislation introduced in the House of Representatives recently would allow same-sex couples the same Social Security benefits as heterosexual couples. The bill, introduced by Representative Nadler of New York, would also add the term permanent partner in addition to the already present language of husband and wife. The bill presently has 17 co-sponsors. Congressman John Conyers has been accused of using his congressional staff as babysitters. Several complaints were filed with the House Ethics Committee, but were dropped and no further actions have occurred. The allegations have not been answered by Conyers. The latest fossil uncovered in Africa may be the most definitive piece of evidence for evolution thus far. The newest fossil, the species Australopithecus anamensis, was found in the region of the Middle Awash, where seven other human-like species spanning nearly 6 million years and three major phases of human development were previously discovered. According to a co-author of the study, the unique location and discovery provides a glimpse into 6 million years of developmental evolution in humans. On the immigration rights front, many of the marchers in recent rallies have been paying high prices for their participation in the marches. In several states, workers lost their jobs for choosing to rally for citizenship. In Tampa, Florida, undocumented students were suspended for walking out of school to demonstrate. The check's in the mail, or at least the postcard is. A postcard originating at a Florida address was returned to that address recently with a return to sender stamp on it. Included on the postcard was the postmark, stamped in 1956. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay. I'm up for another hour. How about you? Let's see, not counting the outro music and the credits and so forth. Yeah, you got about 50 minutes or so if you want to get a lick in. Get a bee out from under your bonnet, a burr out from under your saddle. You know the drill. You know the number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877, the number 4, HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Jesus, I keep repeating the phone number like I'm having some sort of a public radio pledge drive. Nah, just the conversation. That's all I want. And, yeah, oh, thank you, dear. This you need to know about. You know, we're constantly, so maybe it is a little like a pledge drive, but not really. It's not like this was planned or anything. Dadgummit. Standby. See, I'm a Luddite, and I use paper. I know talk show hosts are out there, and they've just got, 19 dozen individual browsers open on their machine, and they just bounce between them like a little pinball. I can't do it. I got an email this morning, and it was also directed to several other of my compadres in the talk, the liberal talk gig. And I don't know if they've hit it yet. I can look at the list and have a pretty good idea of who will and who might not have. But as you know, this program, as well as many others, are streamed at radiopower.org. And our good friend Shelby LaPrey does the heavy lifting there. and she does a hell of a fine job of it. This particular program, Head On, me, Bob Kincaid, runs from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I guess that's noon to 3 on the West Coast, in repeat, Tuesday through Friday. So by Friday, you'll be hearing this show. And I got an email from Shelby, and it was titled, Radio Power Takes Direct Hit. And she just says, my building was struck by lightning during a storm that suddenly rolled in around 10 p.m. last night. It was a pretty freaky experience. I could actually hear and feel the pulsing of electricity. It wiped out computers, servers, 10 drives, archive. Oh, my God. You know, I just read this, and I can only imagine. It wiped out computers, servers, 10 drives, archive files, mixer consoles, and started a small electrical fire. I'm in the process of determining what's lost and what can be saved. I've managed to take apart a server and 3 fried desktop computers and use the parts to get the Radio Power main server back online. The station will limp along like this for the next few weeks or as long as it can. But without emergency fundraiser funds of $5,000 minimum, that won't last very long. You can go if you can donate, and I hope you can. You know, I'm sorry that there aren't limousine liberals running around out there, and whatever the hell a limousine liberal is, making it possible for us to save the American dream. I am grateful every day of my life to the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. This show happens because they care enough about America to fund it. Shelby LePre needs help. She needs $5,000. Go look around online. You'll see that servers and PCs ain't cheap. Then go to radiopower.org/donations. She says, I'm still in a state of shock and trying to get my bearings. If you need to, okay. All right. Help Shelby out, please. I know what can happen. For some reason or another, the telephone line gizmo hickey hospedeek thingamajig that leads the 6 lines that you dial in on was inadequately protected against lightning. And I think it was within the first couple of weeks that we were back on the air in early October, lightning ran down our phone lines and cooked a $3,000 telephone hybrid, which is the gizmo that makes it possible for you and me to talk and the rest of the world to listen. Just bang, it's gone. $3,000, sorry. See ya. So I have some degree of sympathy with all of that. I have a hell of a lot of sympathy with all of that. So even though you are constantly being asked to give, please, if you've got it, if you can give up this week's trip to the movies, or eat hamburger instead of steak, or high rent or low rent tofu instead of high rent tofu, whatever it is you do, if you can just cut back somewhere and cut a little bit of that to Shelby, we can keep trying to save the American dream. All right? Please. And that's all I'll say. Just please. If you can. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, do. Because, you know, Shelby carries a lot of stuff. Mike Malloy is there. I'm there. The Young Turks are there. Tom Hartman's there. Peter Werby's there. So, please. She's a valuable part of the community. And what she does is ever so important. RadioPower.org/donations. and she will appreciate it, and I will appreciate it. And we'll do our best to make, if you need to double check it, radiopower.org, and I'm sure there's a button for donations or something, but radiopower.org/donations, okay? You want to go to the phones? Andrew is with us from New York. Hey, Andrew, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm okay.
Yeah, that's a sad thing about radiopower.org, and I mean, it's like, hey, they said they were going to start doing the cyber stuff, so besides that, but it's just like now the insanity. It's the insanity of, you know, they treat the Iraq war as something they start, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they go in there and they say, well, we're going to start this or whatever, but when it, you know, when it boils into a civil war, which it is now. It is a civil war.
Yeah. How do you?
Everybody's parsing words and calling it this.
Oh no! It's a. What is it? It's an insurgency.
It's sectarian.
It's
violence.
Sectarian violence. You know, a person who's been dead 3 days in the Iraqi heat from sectarian violence smells every bit as bad as someone who's been dead 3 days in the Iraqi heat from civil war.
Yeah, they're finding bodies and trucks and mass graves and stuff, but. You can put whatever word you want to put on it, but the GOP always does this. They always do the same thing.
Well, and what's...
It's tough, they bail.
Andrew, what...
They had no exit strategy when they went in there, as was noted earlier. And now they just, you know, pretty much the way it looks like to me, they gave up on it.
They lost interest in it, but again, this is the kind of stuff, and you know what rolls downhill. This is the kind of stuff that rolls downhill from the Bush administration, because again, leadership or cowardice flows from the position of power, and as such, you're dealing with a guy in George Bush, just like Bob said, who has screwed up his entire life, and every time he's screwed up, it's been a matter of, well, I'm bored with this, I'm gonna run along to the next thing now. Yeah, and what we've got here is, yeah, he's already admitted, what, a month ago, that he doesn't plan on the Iraq war ending on his watch.
No.
He can, you know, he's like every bully. He can start a fight. He cannot finish one.
No. They don't know how to finish anything.
And so if you can start this fight and lay it off on some president in the future to clean up the mess, why the hell not start one in Iran that you can lay off on a future generation, too?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
And the way he thinks, I'm surprised he's even thinking about the future. I mean, you're talking about using nuclear, you know, weapons or whatever in the Middle East. What kind of future is he thinking about? Who gives a damn about 2009?
Well, and who? Yeah.
No, he shouldn't even be thinking about 2009.
Do you remember Andrew? Do you remember his first 4th of July appearance? It was in Philadelphia. And the story circulated. It's one of those things that was easy to forget, but shouldn't be. It told us a boatload about what was coming. Mm-hmm. It was 4th of July, and I think Philadelphia. It was 2001. Or maybe it was on the campaign trail in 2000, but he was shaking hands along a line. Now, it was after he was president, because the guy looked at him and said, I think you are a terrible president. And George Bush looked him right in the eye and said, who gives an F what you think?
Yeah, what you think. He doesn't care. He already said, I don't pay attention to polls. If you're not paying attention to the polls, you're not paying attention to the people.
Right, and if you're not paying attention to the polls, you know, and that's not all. He doesn't.
You're just doing whatever you want to do.
Right, and he doesn't pay attention to the news. He's told us he doesn't pay attention to the news.
No, because he thinks in his twisted mind, he thinks he is the news. He is the news. In his mind, he is the news, and he's just, you know, spewing out the garbage day after day. He feels in his twisted mind that he's making the news.
And if he starts the war in Iran, he doesn't have to finish it.
Yeah, and the only reason he's making the news is because he has a boatload of nukes behind him. Okay? That's all he has.
That he would
if
love to use.
If he was another whack job in some other third world country, or even, you know, first world country, he would have been quarantined. But he has the button. He has the briefcase.
The football.
That's his Trump card.
Oh, yes, it is. And he is not, you know, they've said before that he is not afraid to use it.
Yeah.
They refuse to take the nuclear option off the table.
He's crazy enough to use it.
and crazy enough to get us all killed.
Basically.
And
For what? I mean, you know, are you that rich that you are, your life is that boring because you have everything you want, you can get anything you want, you can do whatever you want, you can travel to wherever you want to go and see this world and experience and enjoy it, but you want to go and take governmental power and abuse it just because you're bored and you want a little action? Are you that insane? I mean, this is what it is.
But see, he says he doesn't pay attention to the polls, but you know what? His people pay attention to the pulse beat of America, and they think that if they can do some nighttime bombing and have a lot of flashy explosions in the middle of the night with, you know, somebody like Bernard Shaw cowering under a table somewhere, that the American people are going to go cool. And that we'll feel good about it because, you know, oh, we're winning this one.
Yeah. As long as we're on the winning team, you know. Hey. I get to wear the colors on Sunday.
Yeah, but the thing they don't understand is that when you start an offensive war, you have lost it before you started it.
Yep.
Because you morally, physically, economically, you cannot win it.
Exactly. There's no base for it. There's no basis for it. And if you don't have any basis for military action, you will always lose. You will come up on the wrong side. Look at Hitler.
Sure.
All right?
And yeah.
Especially when you have far-reaching eyes, when you think you're grabbing more than you can handle.
Well, I guess I'm...
You didn't know what happened to Hitler when he went into Russia.
Well, is it just a matter, Andrew, of us being...
Waterloo.
Are we just guilty of being overly obsessed with history and thinking that history does repeat itself?
Well, it does repeat itself. I mean, you still... These are the remnants of that era. That's what we're dealing with. Prescott Bush, these are the remnants.
Yeah. No,
they're ready to die off, and they don't care. Just like, whatever. Now they're just having fun. Let's act out what Hitler couldn't finish.
Well, I tell you what, there is reason to be concerned. But the question that keeps plaguing me is, where's America? 48% of the United States, citizens, Andrew, say that, okay, if they continue to pursue a nuclear program, it's okay to attack them? Now, everything that we have...
It's more like, where's the media?
Yeah.
You cannot get angry at what you don't know. And if you don't know it because you don't have the means to know it, or you're too busy to find out, that's the problem. So you have to make that information as easily accessible as possible if you want a public that is knowledgeable in what is going on.
Well, you know, I watched again,
and that's not the case because the media is in cahoots with the government.
Two or three times now, I've been through Good Night and Good Luck. Have you seen that yet?
No, I have not.
You should. And I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, or anything. Mm-hmm. You'll like the movie. But there's a line in there where the Edward R. Murrow character says, "There are not always two sides to a story." And this is one of those cases. There are not two sides to a story about another offensive, preemptive war. There is the side that says this is crazy, this is stupid, and this is wrong, and then there's no other side.
No.
It just is.
Yeah.
And whether it's some retired lieutenant general saying that I've got a great plan, we're going to bomb 1,000 places, we're going to call it Operation Big George.
Everybody's saying this is crazy, but the situation is still on the table. There's no counter-argument. What is Bush? Is he justifying this? What is his reasons for justifying it? 50,000 nukes that may be built in the future? I mean, come on, dude. I mean, I read that article in Bloomberg last night, and I was like, this is crap. And then I read the full article, but all I saw was 50,000 centrifuges, and I said, hey, now, if they had that many centrifuges, you would think that we would know about it already.
Well, they do have centrifuges.
That kind of, you know, that amount of centrifuges. You think they would have been acquiring the material to build it?
Well, they probably do have it. But the thing is, you've got to have those centrifuges, Andrew, if you want to build a civilian nuclear facility.
Exactly.
So
apparently, what they're doing, and that's the stage. They're not even at that stage yet. They just cracked the egg in the frying pan, and it's not done yet. It's been 1 second, and they just threw the eggshells in the garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long time before that's going to be cooked.
Well, see, over at WD40.com, and Andrew, our good buddies over there, they posted some remarks about Scotty McClellan came out and called the press irresponsible for reporting on George Bush saying that he, you know, oh, we found the weapons of mass destruction. And it's this this government by faith or government by magic or whatever. Oh, we never said that. We never
Scott
said
McClellan,
that.
I don't even. Scott McClellan, I look at him as like looking at.
I got it right here. He said it.
He's a joke.
I mean, check this out, Andrew.
Another word that the press secretary, you know, the whole White House press corps, whatever, is a joke.
Yeah, but I mean here's George Bush. This is
again, they're just like your newspaper.
Sure, this is 2003. This is George Bush, Andrew. Check.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor to have you here.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry about that. No, this.
I don't even. Whatever Scotty McClellan says is number lies, and he's covering up, and you know. Forget him.
Yeah, and attacking the media, saying it was irresponsible of the media to point out that George Bush said in 2003 that they had found WMDs, and they said and McClellan said no, he didn't. We didn't say that. That's a lie. Well, it wasn't. It's on tape.
Everything's on tape.
I mean, they amaze me, Andrew. They amaze me.
I know, and I bet they have all our conversations taped, but yet and still they don't remember the stuff that they said on that's on tape out there.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was doctored.
Yeah, because I'm playing it and I'm crazy and I'm a liberal and and of course I'd mess with the tape and I'd make George Bush say things George Bush never said. Oh, you know, sure.
I don't know, but I just wanted to call up and say hello. And...
All right, thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Hang in there.
Yep, you too.
Later.
Take it easy.
But no, please bear that in mind. There are not always two sides to a story. There are not two sides to Charlie Manson's story. There are not two sides to Hitler's story. They just aren't. There is, this guy was wrong, evil, crazy, mad, and a mass murderer, and what's the other side of the story? It's the same thing you get when you get coverage of protests in Washington, D.C. Well, several people turned out to protest the war in Iraq. Other people turned out in counter-protest. We talked to each of them. Horse feathers! Horse feathers. When there's 200,000 on one side and 12 weirdos from Free Republic on the other, or conservative underground... The people who are too weird for Free Republic. Now, what does that tell you? That's not two sides to a story. That's normal people, 250,000, weirdos. 12. That's... And you know why we've gotten that way? We've gotten that way because of, 30, 35, 40... No, wait, let's see. Good night and good luck. That's set in... 1954, 55, and back then they were complaining of the liberal media and the communist influence on the Columbia Broadcasting System, and they won't tell the truth about the true conservative... And the entire so-called mainstream media has become so cowed by those criticisms. You're not being fair to us. Blah. That they knuckle under and they start equivocating such that there are two sides to... Are there two sides to Eric Rudolph's story? Are there two sides to Timothy McVeigh's story? No, of course not. Of course not. Let's take a break. When we come back... We will go back to the phones and a couple other things that I want to hit before the night ends. This is Head On. And I'm killing time until the bumper music is loaded. Bob Kincaid.
About it.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh, my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Worked the
shoe
leather
a nice
rope.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of South.
Broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Waiting for a promotion, don't you know? Talking about a revolution, it sounds like poor people gonna rise up, get their share.
Yeah, poor people gonna rise up, get their share of lead.
Poor people gonna rise up.
See, that's the problem. Poor people rise up and take what's theirs, and rich people come and take their lives. I'm sorry. Just a little bit of practicality. Let's go back to the phones. I haven't heard from our good friend Bob in Butler, PA in a while. Hey, Bob, you're Head On. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right. You?
Oh, I'm tolerable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't have to live like a refugee, but they sure would like us to.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Uh-huh. That's what they want. Anyway, I caught portions of another show today, Hartman, and he had a guy on who had he had the statistics on how long it would take to make U-235 out of straight uranium, and the centrifuges and blah blah blah, and apparently they have 200 and something or 300 and something now in order to do what our government is saying they can do. They would need some thousands of centrifuges, which they could get, but the whole process would be like just to get the centrifuges would be like a decade or two in order to manufacture them, and then, you know, so we're talking about like 20 or 30 years down the road.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, we know we're dealing with liars, Bob. I mean, that's why they jumped the shark on Wednesday. The State Department did with this story. Iran could build a nuclear weapon within days once it completes plans to beef up its uranium enrichment facility at Natanz. That once they beef up part. Is
yeah
a whole bunch of building.
Oh yeah, yeah, and just to get the centrifuges built,
you know,
is like a decade or two.
Yeah, I mean,
they would need this guy, whoever it was, that called in, apparently was a nuclear scientist, and he said you know, you're going to get 3% out of whatever you put into a centrifuge, you're going to get 3% U-235. The rest of it is waste. All right. So in order to get enough to make a bomb, you'd need some thousands of centrifuges. And in order to produce them, it's going to take, like, some decades. And then add another decade on top of that just to spin it down and get the U-235. And then you'd have enough. But well, we're talking about 20 years, maybe.
And you, and the sad thing is, you know how these the wingnut warriors respond to that?
Mm.
They say, I mean, it's straight out of Condi Rice. I mean, she's already tried it out once. We don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Oh, God.
I mean, we've seen this movie before, right, Bob?
We have, but apparently a whole lot of people haven't.
48% of the American people.
Yeah.
Now, that question, as far as I know, that survey didn't ask the really magic question. Would it be okay to nuke Iran?
Oh, that's another scary one.
I'm very frustrated with the whole process, the Middle East in general. I often think it should just be turned over to the whole place, just turned over to the United Nations and run as a Disney theme park. But Israel has 100 or more nukes. Every Arab nation in that region, or every Muslim nation in that region, is afraid that Israel will nuke them.
Yep.
Because they watch every day as Israel's, their soldiers. This is straight out of the headlines. This is straight out of the news. Kid throws a rock at a soldier. Soldier machine guns him to death.
Right.
They see that. And they think, if they'll shoot you for throwing a rock at them, they wouldn't think twice about nuking us.
Right. So we better get nukes.
So we got to have nukes too.
Right. We didn't go after North Korea.
Right. It's Pakistan and India, Bob.
Yeah.
Pakistan and India has a nuke. Pakistan wants a nuke.
I know. It's so frustrating trying to. And I've given up trying to figure out what's going to happen. I don't see anything good that could possibly come of this.
Well,
I don't see any good.
Well, there's not bombing Iran.
That's what I mean. Once we do that, I think all bets are off. I don't know who's going to nuke who next, but it's going to be somebody.
Well, it depends on which way the wind blows. Now, if the fallout from nuking Iran happens to blow over Mecca and poison that site for the next couple of hundred years, we're going to have a problem with 1.2 billion people on this planet. Huh? Do we want that? Or wait a minute, maybe the wind blows south and east and blows over Pakistan and India, and they get sick and die.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to do who next, but, it could either be that all our friends just decide, we did the one punch, they got to do the 2-3-4 punch, and just do it all right away. Or somebody gets mad at our friends and they nuke them and then nuke, 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 nuke.
Right, and there goes the nuclear neighborhood.
And, I don't know. I'm thinking, what are my plans? Well, let's see. If nothing happens, I have an old Honda I want to restore. I'm gonna get laid off for the summer, so I'm going to be involved with some politics, I think. Although I did go to a meeting, and I wasn't impressed. Wasn't impressed with what I was hearing. I mean, they were the right words, but, let's come up with $35 for this. And okay.
I know, and we've provided cookies and punch.
That kind of thing, And this was after months of calling one guy And apparently he's no longer involved, but his name's all over the place on the web for the Democratic Party in this area. And you can't get a hold of him. He won't return your phone call. So then finally I found apparently a splinter organization, which is part of the Democratic Party. And, oh, my God, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. So I don't know. I might just end up standing outside watching for the mushroom cloud and thinking, well, you know, God, if you're there, yeah, you want to give it another shot, go ahead, you know.
Next up, cockroaches.
Yeah, do a little bit of research this time.
Yeah, the dinosaurs were, let's see, reptiles were a bust. Primates, nah, that's not working out so much. But cockroaches, maybe, you know, they're the new indoor plumbing.
Maybe. Oh, man. You know.
Bob, thanks so much.
All righty.
I was beginning to fret about you.
Really?
Yeah, don't stay away so long.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got to make the rounds because I don't have tons of time, but, you know, I got to make sure I hit as many different places and read as much stuff as I can, and I haven't been reading at all lately, so I have to get back to that now.
Yeah, I understand. I try to do a lot of reading myself, but...
I don't know when you have the time.
I've eliminated sleep. I don't.
See, I can't. I'm up to like about 10 hours in a day.
Sounds like a vacation to me.
Two and six. Two naps, 2 hours apiece, and plus 6 hours at night. Well, some of it's my medication. So.
Okay. All right, Bob. Take care.
Later.
Bye. Bye. And a quick anecdote from our friend Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. Listen, there's one thing I forgot to mention earlier.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, nuclear capability of Iran.
Yeah.
And that has to do with what happened to all those missing nuclear weapons from the former Soviet Union.
Well, that's the story that we had last night. The defense minister of Russia saying that he refused to comment on a story that Ukraine had sold Iran 250 weapons at the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Well, there's an interesting book entitled Red Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one guy, I think they call him Tarzan. He lives in Israel now. But he's the guy who was going to buy the Soviet submarine to run cocaine.
Oh, I remember that, sure.
Now, if they can put up an Akula-type submarine for the Soviet Navy and get that on the market, I mean, it could be very easily done to effect the transfer or sale of a suitcase bomb, because the last count I heard, there were 141 weapons that they couldn't account for.
Well, that was the heart and soul of this story, was that there are 250 nukes that they can't account for. But of course, you know, that we have a very a white hat agency out there that works really, really hard to try to make sure that none of that stuff falls into the wrong hands, and it's a multilateral, multi-country effort.
What are you talking about, the IAEA?
No, I'm not talking about the IAEA. There's I can't remember the name of it right now. It's a separate group that monitors all of this stuff, and of course, we cut funding.
That is regrettable. But I just wondered, you know, what about these loose nukes that are out there when these scientists sold them because they weren't getting paid and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's food for thought.
Oh, it is. It is indeed.
By the way, one quick story about the Internal Revenue Service.
Uh-huh.
About 20 years ago, back in the 80s, I owed them some money. And one Saturday morning, and I was asleep, you know, up after a Brian Ferry used to think a party time wasting, having too much fun,
mm-hmm.
The telephone rang. It's a woman with a gorgeous voice, and she says, good morning. This is Mrs. Graves, as in cemetery, and I work for the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, that's good.
And according to my records, you are in debt to the Federal Treasury for X number of dollars. And I can guarantee you, no matter what your sleeping patterns are, if you should get a call like that...
You're awake.
Bingo.
Really, really awake, with little beads of sweat.
And she says, I trust that you will be at the Strong Thurmond Building on Monday morning at the cashier's gate.
Well, it's about as nice as you can put it.
Well, I thought it was. But when she said, this is Mrs. Graves, as in cemetery, I said, Good Lord. At first, I thought it was somebody trying to play a joke, and I said, this is real.
Well, you know, that's one of the funny little synchronicity things of this life, Jim. People fall into places where they belong.
I guess so. But, I mean, the loose nukes from the former Soviet Union and the successor states, of which were, you know, a number of Muslim republics bordering Iran, you know, how many nukes perhaps could they have purchased? And we don't know anything about it.
And we're not going to find out about it until it's much too late.
Well, I'm not trying to leave anybody with a bad taste in their mouth, but I just wanted to interject that element into the equation. Because they may not have to go through all the phases of R&D to have what's already been sold to them.
That's the scary part. It is indeed. Jim, thank you very much.
I bid you good night, and I wish you a blessed Maundy Thursday and a good Friday tomorrow.
Thank you very kindly, and the same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Now, this is going to be a strange little segue, but I wanted to get this out there for your consideration. As you know, Air America Radio, the first liberal network, we're the second head-on radio network, recently returned to the air in Phoenix, in the Phoenix, Arizona market. And just to show you that, and I don't understand it fully, just to show you that not everyone shares my vision of progressive talk, and that is this notion that we're all in this together and that we are all trying to do the same job, that we're all trying to return some sanity, not just to the airwaves, but to the body politic. This is the damnedest thing. There's a host out there by the name of Mike Newcomb. See the synchronicity? We were talking about nuking Iran, now I'm talking about Mike Newcomb? No. But Mike Newcomb played a clip on his program out in Phoenix of Ed Schultz. And I want to share this with you because I think you need to see every once in a while it's a good idea to pull the curtain back, and that's what this is.
All right, give me that
this is Ed Schultz.
Fire extinguisher. Let me put out another fire in Phoenix. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to have to address, but I've got good news. I'm going to address this one more time.
Is it just me or does this dude sound like Rush?
Look, I'm not going to talk about other progressive shows, and I'm not going to talk about their content because that's not what I'm about. But there seems to be some type of undercurrent out there that I'm trying to not get us back on in Phoenix. Am I hearing this? That I'm at fault because Phoenix doesn't have progressive talk radio anymore because I thought that this website idea was for goons? I'm telling you folks right now.
Now, what he's talking about, is the fact that people in that market, in that area, were dedicated enough to the idea of the First Amendment and the idea of all views being present in the marketplace of ideas that, you know, they passed the hat to get Air America back on in Phoenix after the religion industry took over the last station. So the idea of dedicated people trying to make good things happen for Ed Schultz becomes a goon issue.
That it is a slippery slope. If you think you're going to bring back progressive talk radio to any market, if you think you're going to send money to a web page, it is not radio. It is the wrong way to do it, and it's not going to get anybody.
Wait a minute. It is not radio. I despise a snob. I despise a snob. This guy goes out over AM that crackles and pops and hisses while you're listening to something right now that is of the same or near similar quality of compact disc digital audio, and this guy's the snob? Hold the freaking phone, you know?
Buddy, anywhere. What's the tax status of this web page that's taking money? How is this set up? Who's doing it? I want a name. Give me a name. Instead, the way left, the out of bounds left, well, you know, Ed Schultz, he's kind of a centrist, and we really don't know if he's progressive or not. You know, he's saying that we should...
He's not, in case you were wondering. He's not centrist, even. You know, because us freaks out here on the way left, we're into that really crazy stuff. Not like, you know, not murdering a quarter of a million people in Iraq. We're into that really crazy stuff. Like, oh, people who get up and go to work 40, 60, 80 hours a week being able to go to the damn doctor when they're sick. Oh, yeah, we're loonies. We're lefties.
We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't have progressive talk in Phoenix. That is a bunch of garbage, and I'm here to announce to you that I'm trying to get part ownership of the radio station.
Ah, the money speaks. There. The truth finally comes out.
I'm willing to put skin in the game to save it. I'm willing to write the check to be a part owner of a radio station. We are going to make an offer. That's how you have to do this.
If he says my friends, I'm going to swear that he's just got a little Ed Schultz mask, rubber mask, you know, the Mission Impossible thing over Rush Limbaugh.
And I'm going to say something that I'm going to get criticized for, but I'm in the territory now. And I'm going to. Sometimes I think people on the far left don't understand the first thing about business.
Never mind.
Don't understand the first thing about how to do business. That are pissed off if somebody makes a profit. I'm not in that crowd. Yes, I want universal health care. Yes, I want veterans benefits.
No, you
yes,
don't.
I want more public funding for public education. Yes, I think the Supreme...
Okay, so he is ticking off here what the loony left believes in. Public funding for health care, adequate funding for education... That's the stuff that he... Okay.
Supreme Court's now a bunch of right-wing wackos. Yes, I'm for women's rights and civil rights and equal rights and all the things that lefties stand for. But I'm pro-business, okay? I don't think that...
He's pro-business. What does pro-business mean in America now? Somebody just tell me, please. In an America that is dominated by WorldCom and Adelphia... And Enron, and Arthur Anderson, and CEOs who make 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 times as much as the average worker. Somebody tell me what being pro-business means in America.
Getting people to send in $5 from a bake sale is going to save a rent. I can't even say it with a straight face.
Don't you love being laughed at? The rubber mask is finally off of Ed Schultz. It is finally off of Ed Schultz. Laughing at the fact that somebody had $5 to give to an effort to save free speech? Laughing at $5? Laughing at $5? There are people who have helped keep the White Rose Society going, a dollar at a time. And Ed Schultz thinks it's insulting. Ed Schultz thinks it's funny. Ed Schultz thinks the poor people, you know how Rush Limbaugh says, the poor. Ed Schultz thinks the poor people, well, their money doesn't count because it doesn't count high enough.
Can save a radio station in any market, anywhere. All you're doing is embarrassing the format. I'll say it to your face when I go on this road trip. This is about profit and loss. It's about ownership.
Okay, so we've got that. We've got that. Now, I want you to hear what comes next. Big Eddie, as he calls himself, called into the Mike Newcomb Show on that self-same radio station in Phoenix. This is what you call a meltdown.
Jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Mike Newcomb Show. It's 18 minutes after the hour, and we've been having a very vibrant discussion about the renaissance, the resurrection, if you will, the born-again nature of Air America Phoenix. And we had some detractors early on, and we had some, plenty of supporters. But we do have one of the initial detractors of our efforts on the air live. He's been the center of our discussion. He is America's number one progressive radio talk show host, according to his website. Mm-hmm. His name is Ed Schultz. You guys all know who he is. So I believe Ed is on the line, and we're going to have Ed give his say here. So let's just go right to Ed. Ed, welcome to the program.
Good to be on with you. According to my website... let's be straight about that. I have more stations and higher ratings than any progressive.
Warning, Will Robinson. Ego approaching. Ego.
In America, and they'll tell you that. So let's get the facts straight off the top.
All right, but also the facts being straight, too, Ed, that you were one of the lower-rated talk show hosts in Phoenix. So I don't know if you're
That's numbers. One market. I'm on 102 markets. I'm also number 13 in the country out of all the talkers.
I've got Zip City, Alabama.
Yeah,
I've got the Zip City market.
Good that you're on the air, and I hope that you continue to play that rant that you played earlier. I've gotten a lot of email, which is great. I want you to play that every morning. Here's the bottom line. I refuse to have my radio show part of Bake Sale Radio. Why don't you just ask your listeners to buy your groceries, or maybe they can
you're
buy
done
your
with Ed Schultz
short
yet?
On that. I've been in this business since 1978. I'm the one that came to the table that said progressive talk radio could make it commercially viable. What you're doing is public radio. You're surviving on public donations and backed up by some commercials.
Because Ed Schultz is certainly so capitalist because he runs advertisements for patent herbal erection remedies.
Might be able to pay for it. Now, I'm not a part of that.
Ed, how do you know what we're surviving on? First of all,
are you telling me that you did not take donations?
I'm telling you, no, we didn't take donations. We actually sold pixels on a website on an internet billboard, just like the Google model. But,
sold what?
So, but well, this is the problem.
The fact is, Mike,
but
had you not had the public write you checks, you would not be on the air, period.
All right, Ed, let me ask, are you a free market guy, Ed?
I am a major free market
guy.
Okay, Ed.
And,
I'm all about selling commercials, and I'm all about profit.
And what does the public do when you have a stock offering, Ed? Does not the public write checks to invest and be part of a business?
Mike, listen. Here's the bottom line.
Can't answer the
question.
There's
people in Phoenix that want me on. There's people in Phoenix that do not want me on. That's just part of the territory.
Sure.
But you and I have a philosophical difference on how radio should be run. Okay? Had you not taken donations...
You got to understand, because we're running out of time, but you must understand that the mindset that is coming out of Ed Schultz's mouth there says that your efforts... to support people like Shelby LaPrey, who got hit by lightning, your efforts to support people like Ben Birch, your efforts to support our good friend Joe Vecchio, the support that we get from the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, Ed Schultz just said that doesn't matter. Ed Schultz just said that any money that he doesn't get is money that doesn't count. I don't know. Can we take a couple of minutes? I think you need to hear this. This idea that the only model is the Republican model. That is pure unmitigated crap. We at the Head On Radio Network are reinventing talk radio. Because Ed Schultz is still out there, and he thinks that the answer lies in satellite and AM radio. And he's wrong. In the town where I grew up,